Fiorina is from the United Nations, and she's in charge for entrepreneurship at the United Nations. She's from UNCTAD, das ist die Organisation der Vereinten Nationen, die sich für Handel und Entwicklung auseinandersetzt. Und sie macht sehr, sehr viele Aktivitäten in Afrika und Asien. You're working a lot in Africa, and you will also talk about, in African context, about entrepreneurship and sustainability. The floor is yours.
Hello everyone. First of all, thank you so much, Johannes Linter, to have invited me. I'm associated with the Global Entrepreneurship Week since inception, so I proudly wear the badge. I'm sorry, I don't speak any German. I speak five languages, but German somehow didn't cross my life. But I've been here many times and I really enjoy the city, and I'm really excited to see so many young people in this room. So I hope that some of you do understand English and that you benefit from this networking event. And you are in good hands. I've seen fantastic leaders, the Minister of Education, and I'm impressed that you have a young generation empowered, and so Austria is featuring quite high in the robust ecosystem for entrepreneurship that we are looking for. For those that are young, you know, I'm not that young, so I have a little trick. When I go to events, it's a bit scary, right? You don't know what to do. So I normally use this trick. I try at least to speak to three people I don't know and try to do something with them, something new. And I also try myself to convince three people to join one of my projects. So at least from an event, I try to get six key people to work with me. So watch out, because I haven't gone, I haven't got my six yet. So I'll be chasing you. And I hope you do the same, because, you know, it's scary. So how many people, how do I do it? So I found this little trick in my life has helped me to focus. And I go to many events, and now that I have so many six people, I have accumulated a huge network, as you can see. And now for this particular event, the younger, the better. So I'm looking for young people to work with. So I'd like to give you a snapshot of what we do at the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development. So we are a conference that has been set up to look at world trade. That was, you know, 64 years ago. We generated the General Agreement on Tariff and Trade. So the World Trade Organization is generated by the work we did. So before the inception, we were a negotiating body, but nowadays we are more of a think tank and also a capacity building in trade and investment, debt issue, and we have tools that we offer to developing countries. In particular, what do I do? I am in charge of entrepreneurship. So we work with governments to advise them on how to create an ecosystem. And I went through the ingredients last night. How do you do that? So I'll be brief, because I like to focus my presentation, as you've seen in the setup. I like to speak about social entrepreneurship and the sustainable development goal. But in general, to build this robust entrepreneurship ecosystem, countries should have a national strategy. They should find the right balance in the regulatory environment, so that we're looking at streamlining some of the regulation and enforcing others that will make the market functioning better. Of course, education plays a big role, and the skill development at a very young age, like you're doing in Austria. Facilitated technology exchange and innovation is at the core of what entrepreneurship should be, because it's about creating new ideas for new solutions. The access to finance remains a roadblock in many countries, so we need to find new vehicles to make this accessible and in a fair manner. And the awareness and networking is about growing this community that we have in this room today, so I'm really glad to share this with you. We also do have a capacity building program that is active in 40 countries, so those in blue are those we work with. So you can see we are in most of South America, some countries of Central America. We cover Africa, we are still not very strong in the Francophone Africa. We are amazingly in Russia, India, and Vietnam in Asia. So there is still a lot of room. We mostly work with emerging economies, but we have started to be engaged with young communities also in Europe, for example, in Spain. So I hope maybe in Austria we can further our collaboration as well. Why am I speaking about young people? As you can see, is it for the first time there are more young people in the world. In many countries in Europe, we talk about the demographics, about the senior people, because they are relevant in terms of income. But in fact, in the world, there are more young people than ever been so many. So we call them the millennials, those that are born in the new century. Unfortunately, the life of most of the young people is a tough one. There is a rising unemployment for many causes, but also in Europe, because the technology is changing, shaping the market, labor market, in different ways. In fact, the jobs that you will have, young people, they're not existing yet. You'll have to create it. So there will be possibly no more taxi drivers, or, you know, think about, there are many jobs that maybe in 10 years they will not be existing, maybe also mine. You know, we will have possibly a different organization that will take care of entrepreneurship at the global level. The United Nations will change. Or maybe the House of Industry will be, although this is a very traditional house, it will be shaped in a different way because of the change in technology, the way people network, and so on. So think about the job that you will have in the future. It's not yet there. We need to shape it. So that's why entrepreneurship comes at the right time. But what are we looking for? Why we are so keen about promoting entrepreneurship? Is it because of the impact they will have on the society, the new entrepreneurs? What we're looking for is achieving with the Sustainable Development Goals that, as Ioannis has introduced, has been adopted by the United Nations General Assembly as an agenda for 2030, for the first time after consultation, extensive consultation with the stakeholders. So is this something that not only the UN is working, maybe for the first time at such a large intensity with the communities, with the schools, with the Chamber of Commerce, with the private sector. So not only the government will be responsible for attaining the Sustainable Development Goals, it's every and each one of us that has to engage. So the goals are many, but we are trying to cluster them in themes, and the bottom line is that we are trying to improve the opportunities for quality education. So there are many goals. They are looking at the human side, improving the health, improving the condition of the humankind. Then there are the economic factors and those that have to be looking at consumption, cities, providing infrastructure and so on. And then we have the sustainability, making strides in protecting the planet and the resources. They are limited. In fact, for the first time, we have a red alert that our resources are basically already exhausted. We cannot renew them that easily. So we need to find ways of not only reverting, but changing the situation. So why is it that entrepreneurs can contribute? So some people are thinking about what is a social entrepreneur, what is the definition. Sometimes the term social is misunderstood because maybe it reminds us of different forms of economic system that have been trying and failed to be introduced. But the term of social entrepreneurship, because it combines the individual effort of creating, the individual effort of making it happen, it looks as social as a change that is desired, and look at the change that is desired as the motor of the achievement. In fact, the form that the enterprise can take are many. It could be a cooperative, but it could be a for-profit system. And there is, in fact, a palette that I'm showing you here in the slide that those enterprises can take. So there is not only one form of social enterprises. What is important is the impact. What is the mission that this enterprise will achieve? And also, the engagement that the profit that will be generated will be reinvested in this mission because the cause is what is the driver of that movement. So when you think about making a social enterprises, you will be motivated by making that change happen. So it's about your passion, your determination to make that change. Since I started to identify the factors of a key successful social entrepreneurs, as I said, is a clear and shared social mission. So the social entrepreneur should be able to mobilize others for that mission. And sharing and inspiring in a ethical leadership. You know, we know that there are many type of leaders, but we are now trying to teach and change the way leaders are inspiring others. There must be a close alignment with the community values and the needs of the community, of the economy. There must be a lot of resilience because there will be a long journey to make that happen, so there will be challenges, there will be drawbacks. The social enterprises have to find an operational system that works and has to be excellent. There has to be a culture of learning, an openness, and a willingness to innovate. They must be sustainable, so they can be generating also income for those that work in that cause, so otherwise it becomes a lost cause. And they must be able to mobilize the financing for their mission. They must find committed mentors to overcome the obstacle they will find on their way, and they have to build these entrepreneurial skills that will make that success possible. So I'd like to show you, in fact, Forbes has just announced the new breed of social entrepreneurs under 30 yesterday, but we studied those of 2016 for our purpose, research purpose, and we noticed that they are becoming younger and younger, and I'll just would like to show you two examples. So there are two brothers and sisters from Ghana, they are called Shore, and they are looking at transforming insects as edible and nice dish. It doesn't look very appealing, but maybe that's what we will be eating in the future. And in fact, in some of the communities in Ghana, this is already a delicious way of having breakfast. So I am not ready for it, but I hope that this comes in a good packaged snack that maybe we can also enjoy. But obviously the insect and as well lentils, I've been told, are possibly in the menu for the future. So think about how can you make this product more appealing, because personally I don't like lentils and I don't like the insect either, so probably my diet will be successful in the future. I would like to talk about LinkedIn. Maybe most of you know this application that is a networking application that is starting as a social media, is being transformed as a way also to find a job. And you, if you have a good profile on LinkedIn, it really helps the young people to get to the job market. But LinkedIn is doing more thanks to one what we call an intrapreneur, so inside the firm, Alicia, I think is called. She has thought about making a special application for the refugees community so now the application is used by the institution to foster a program for the refugee community. Also inside that program that has been expanding, LinkedIn works much more with the municipalities to create a different way of developing job centers or other ways of connecting the youth to the job market. So look, maybe in your phone you will have a new application on LinkedIn very soon that you can be used for this type of connections. What are the challenges that a social entrepreneur will be finding? In our research, those are the elements that are listed here that have been found difficult. The branding, the marketing, achieving a balance between the economic and social sustainability, and meeting the sustainable development goals. So I'll give you some example of how this is being done. Most of you know the Body Shop. I've seen a number of those shops in Vienna. So I'm sure maybe some of you are customers. The Body Shop was born by Anita, who was born Italian. Unfortunately, Anita is not with us any longer, but her mission was to try to forbid animal testing. So she didn't succeed completely with that mission, but at least she created a product where she could guarantee there will be no animal testing and there will be natural byproducts. So if you become a customer of the Body Shop, you believe in that cause. And the marketing that she has been using since inception is to convince that this is possible, that you can have a bioproduct without chemicals that is has a nice touch and feel. So it's more than just a shop. It's living the cause that she was passionate about. Another very young entrepreneur from Ethiopia that probably you haven't seen yet, but you'll become familiar with because she's opening shops in most of the airports, is Soul Rebel. This young entrepreneur from Ethiopia is recycling the car tires to make the sole of the nice shoes she's producing. And in fact, she started because she wanted to work with poor communities in Ethiopia, and she found that that was a good way of getting the raw material in an affordable manner so that the community could produce those shoes. So that, those are becoming very trendy, but it's a product that you don't only buy because those are nice shoes, because you believe in the recycling approach that the enterprise has found. Another example in another area in South Africa is Afros, is making learning content online for poor communities in South Africa. So you can see the social entrepreneurs can take many shapes. It can be a manufacturing, but it could be educational content. It could be looking at water, sanitation. There are many, many areas where the social entrepreneurs can intervene, but the branding has to be convincing. You still have to use the marketing tools to make your product known. Why the marketing should be different? You don't only have to look at a customer relationship. You're not only selling a product. You need to interact with the customers. Those are becoming your partners. So the partners is a much broader signification in a social enterprise. It's not only who invests in with you, but who is helping you, who believes in your cause. So whoever is willing to devote time, volunteering, or helping you becomes a key partner. So as I said before, the profits and earnings have to be reinvested, and also communicating with your partners about the way you are going to reinvest and rebuild new avenues for growth are important. Sustainability has to be married with efficiency. So you have to find the balance to make it work in a way that is making the enterprise viable. So the sustainability is key to find solutions that are efficient. What is happening in developing countries? Those are the countries that I work with. In fact, those goals, sustainable development goals that have been adopted by the UN community and the public at large offer you opportunities really for balancing the triple bottom line of people, planet and profit. The young entrepreneurs can bring, in fact, mostly the new products and services that will meet the opportunity and the needs, taking advantage in particular of the information technology. So that's why we have multi-planning initiatives such this of today, or I wanted to show you a brief video that shows what we do in Africa, in Rwanda, because I will conclude my with a call to participate in this project that we are building in Africa, in particular with the youth, with Rwanda being selected as a hub. I just wanted to show some new products that are coming to the market in Nigeria. This, for example, is the products developed by Tosin Osikoya. Her company is called Levende. Apparently, it's coming from the Swedish word. It means life. She's a mother. She's also a medical doctor. And her kid has allergy and different type of health issue that can provoke asthma and difficulties in breathing. So when the kid started to go to school, she had a series of crises where the kid wasn't well taken care of. That brought her the motivation to start this healthcare kids for the schools, for the parents, for the families. And she also does online and physical training for the first aid. They can really can save lives. So just by trying to solve the problem for this mother, you know, for this child, in fact, became a profitable venture that she reinvests for the causes of saving lives. And as a doctor, she basically stopped the practice to devote her to building this concept and this social enterprise. So there are many ways that you can start with an idea from a need that is close to your heart, and that will make the difference on the way you will succeed. What are we doing in particular with our program? We've been training entrepreneurs for 30 years all over the world, but we didn't have enough emphasis on the social impact. So we started to make a change. We now have a different profile when we interview people that wish to join the program, and we're trying to develop new products to train social entrepreneurs. So we've changed our questionnaire, our profiling to take into account the social aspect. We have looked at gamification. This is also because we work a lot more with young people. So this is one of the tools some of you will recognize. It's a Rubik's Cube that is actually now used for our training to find the best combination of making this sustainability efficiency that you're looking for when you talk about a social enterprise. It's a fun way of experimenting with different possible impacts. So I don't have it yet to sell or to give as a gift, but if you come to the training, you can be exploring that. We also have used a business canvas that maybe most of you are now using or maybe studying in your high school or university. We found that it needed to be adapted for the social entrepreneurs, and we also are looking using some techniques called effectuation. Last night there was an expert talking about self-efficacy, so the way that you want to make things happen, to make it very simple. I'd just like to show you some of the changes we made to the business canvas. There are not many, but it's the way that I said before, the stakeholders become the key partners and so on. And the changes that you have to make at the value proposition to make it sustainable, to make it relevant for the change that you want to achieve. So I have more or less gone through what I wanted to share with you. And here I have my business cards with me, but I also wanted to give you some of the different links. So if I don't reach you out with my business card, you can maybe take a picture of this slide and be able to contact me. And I'm enthusiastic about making new friends and talking to young people. So you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Facebook. And I hope that I will be passing by in your life with some inspiration to make a change. Thank you.